God's word. God, thank you for your goodness. We love you. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together. God, we just love you and we love life. Life is good because you are good. Open our eyes and our hearts. May we all leave here full of your hope. We pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Well, we're starting a six-week series called Finding Freedom. And I would start with the hope that you all would be excited about that, that you would recognize that you could use a little bit more of that. I hope you're not sitting here feeling like, freedom, finding freedom, that's for losers. Losers need freedom. No. I'm hoping you'll join us here on planet Earth, where we all have a few struggles. In fact, if you open your notes on the church app, I hope you will follow along. And we're going to start with where our struggles started. We're all in this struggle together. Genesis 3:16, you see in your notes there. This is God pronouncing the curse after human beings have chosen sin over him, which we all have chosen, by the way. And God is announcing what life is going to be like. This isn't God announcing his will or what he wants. This is him announcing the repercussions or what life is going to be like as a result of our sin. He, ladies first, he starts with her. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. And in pain you will give birth. Can any women testify to that? Is that true? I haven't experienced that, so I don't know. You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. So if you're taking notes, the first place you're going to find this curse, or the first place sin is going to drag you down a little bit, you're going to feel the weight of it, whether you like to or not, is your home. When he's talking about pregnancy, he's not only saying that, you know, the birth experience, but the process. I mean, what should bring you the greatest joy, your children, is also going to bring you some pain. Okay, so home is the first place, this weight, you're going to feel it. Verse 17, gentlemen, your turn. We get a little bit more here. We get a longer curse. To the man, he said, since you listened to your wife, ate from the tree, whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle. Will you say the word? Say struggle. Anybody here ever struggled before? Or have you just been on an escalator to glory your whole life? You will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow. You do understand that without the curse, yes, there was always planned to be work. I hope this isn't bad news, but throughout eternity, you're going to be on this planet. Hope that's not bad news to you. You might live in Buxton for eternity. But we're going to be on this planet in resurrected. It's going to be as God planned, but there's always going to be work. You're good. But it's going to be work that you enjoy. You're moving something forward, but work went from something that was life-giving to by the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So if you're taking notes, the second place where you're going to find the curse or that struggle affecting you is work. Other than home or work, you're not going to really have any issues with it. But obviously home involves all the relational side, and work involves a lot more than just your job. But who's thankful that that's not the end of the story? Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel, this is the very last chapter of your Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This place has come down to earth, by the way. Verse 2, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Total side note, but isn't it interesting that there's healing going on in heaven? Isn't that odd? Don't you? Isn't it normal just to think you arrive, you go from 0 to 100 in just one hop, and it's just, life has always been a process. That's always been God's plan. You're going to still be in process for a long time. Verse 3, no longer, can we read verse 3 together? No longer will there be any curse. All right, so if you notice that, Genesis 3, let me open up to Genesis 3 here. That's right there. All right. Revelation 22, that's in this Bible right there. So here's where the trouble starts. Here's where it ends. Anybody ever read this part? Have you read that part? You should read that part. What's that part full of? Yeah, there's some amazing stories in there, aren't there? Some amazing people. What is this the story of, the rest of this part? This is God losing his kids here. This is him getting them back, and this is God chasing us. That's the story, the grace of God. This is God coming after us. What is our part in this story? We're the runners. Hey, just read it. Just read it. And in fact, if you're seeing in your notes there, and you've probably seen this list before. I did not come up with this. I just copied it offline. The list of all of the, these are all the heroes of the Bible. Noah was a drunk. Abraham gave his wife away. Jacob was a liar. If you're in the notes, you see all, every character seemingly of note in the Bible is listed here. And you know what? Joseph was abused. Moses couldn't talk. That's actually quite it's true. Everything in there that said is true, but it's actually quite a deceptive list. Because the truth is, that is not the story of those moment, but that wasn't their story. Every one of those people, these were stories of amazing grace. These were stories of human beings that, yes, had all the exact same junk that we had and all the same opportunities and all the same, and they all did it, man. They all sinned. Why does the Bible record that? Just leave that little part out, right? It records that so that we don't let ourselves off the hook and think, oh, God couldn't use me. But that isn't their story. That moment, that does not define them. That is not what, when you think of Abraham, that isn't what God thinks of. How many thankful God, when God thinks of you, he doesn't think of your worst moment and define you by that. No, that is not the truth. And we're thankful for his. By the way, did you notice there's one Bible character that didn't make the list? Pretty popular guy. You know, all the big shots. Anybody know who was missing on the list there? Jesus. He didn't make the list. So obviously, Jesus is God. That's a leg up in the in the race to walk in holiness. And but have you ever thought about, because a lot of this series in Finding Freedom, and I hope you will, I hope you're going to jump into a small group. And by the way, on the way in, you were handed, was everybody handed one of those? Let's call it, what's it called? A spiritual inventory? Is that what it's called? Inventory? Some of you have already seen that before. Let me relieve you of a couple fears right now, because we're in a small group series. I'm hoping every one of you will get into a small group. They're already going. But concerning this list, number one, please, and somebody asked me this the other day, do I have to go answer every one of these questions? No. In fact, if you do, we will kick you out. Don't be that guy. Because it is true. Yes, we do need to go. We do need to. Now, let me finish my sentence. We do need to grow in comfort of sharing our reality with people. Absolutely. But don't be that guy that goes from 0 to 100 in one leap and, you're not helping anybody. Now, the goal would be that you would have friends. But just that list. Rather than go through it right now, can I tell you what I think would be a healthy response to that? I think here's your health check. What is your reaction to that? is your first reaction as you look at that list, who do they think? Do they not know me? Do they really think these things apply to me? I mean, if you think you're better than that list, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You're just not aware. You've lived in denial for so long that you're just not aware. You're better than every character in the Bible. I guess another unhealthy spectrum would be you just can't wait to dive into that list and, you know, bring up all that. That isn't the goal. The goal isn't, there needs to be moments of that for sure. And you do need to have friends. But I think a healthy is a way to look at that list is, you know what, just awareness that yes, I can answer every one of these questions. Yeah. But I'm in the grace of God. I am in the process of transformation. And no, this doesn't define me. It doesn't. This is a 6-week series. This is not going to be, you know, every week for this is a time to get on topic of my struggle, and there is change. There's absolutely change if we'll just get on topic. But just concerning Jesus not being on that list, you know, a lot of this series, I mean, you have to look at your family of origin. You do. And every last one of us had an imperfect family of origin. How many of you, did anybody here, you had the perfect home? Please don't raise your hand. Yeah, and maybe yours was awesome. You know, and there is, without question. And by the way, it is so normal. I mean, the stats, I read it one time, I can't remember. It's upward in the 90% of humanity. At some point, somewhere around there, it seems to get starting younger now, but 20s, 30s, that we go through something and everybody has this phase where like you stop and you're like, oh, my family of origin, my parents. And we all, it's just so normal to have this moment where like, oh, you want to blame your parents. I'd go really easy, especially if you have kids. Because your turn's coming. And no, that is not don't be that way. Don't, as you go through, see it for what it is. But I've commented on Jesus. Let's get back to him. Have you ever realized that in order for, God sent, God came to the earth. God sends his son. He comes as a human being. He comes, is born as a baby. Now, yes, he has the spirit of God in him on a measure that none of us have. Yes, he does not have that curse of sin in his flesh. So in that, he's different. But how about the whole family of origin stuff? I mean, do you ever realize that, do you think God, when he picked a family, Mary and Joseph. Did he send the angel to Gabriel to go give that message? Did he just say, you know, just find a Jewish girl? Just pick one. Won't really matter. No. God picked this one out. And we only have one story of Jesus' growing up because it tells you absolutely everything you ever need to know. He travels travels to the Passover, which scripture says they did every year, which was an expensive trip that a lot of people didn't do because it's like coming to church when you know you got to pay your tithe for the whole year. Skip that one Sunday. Dude, slam dunk. So every year, this was their pattern, okay? But they traveled in a group, and you guys know the story. They left Jesus. They left Jerusalem, assuming that Jesus was in there with their friends and family. Now, in our culture, the only way we can comprehend that is what irresponsible parents, and it's exactly the opposite. We just can't even comprehend the level of community, the level of loving relationships they had with that group of friends and family. This was not their first time together. They had so much love, so much trust. They spent so much time in each other's homes, so much times that their kids were your kids, and it was on a level. I mean, we've all had some of that. I look at some of you, and I know that you had the kind of home where when kids wanted to gather, they gathered in your home. How many had that home that when the kids wanted to gather, when your kids' friends wanted to gather, your home was the place, right? So that's awesome. But gang, this was that on steroids. And for them to just assume, they are not irresponsible parents. What is the point? Jesus grew up, call it cheating, but God picked the best family, potentially one of the best families that's ever lived on the planet. Because Jesus, yes, he's God, but he had a human side that needed to be trained, and God made sure that he got well trained. And that wasn't just biblical knowledge he was trained in. He learned from the time he was one that we love people. We stay connected with people. I hope your small group is close. I hope you have some good friends in your small group. But friends, that one picture should just tell you about everything you need to know, that we got a ways to go. We got a ways to go in what real loving community looks like. And honestly, I think sometimes we kid ourselves to think that we could accomplish in a prayer meeting. I can avoid that entire side of scripture that tells me what love looks like, that tells me how to just open my heart to people. And I can avoid all of that and in a prayer meeting and Bible study accomplish and be free. I can find freedom just by reading my Bible. How's that work? Is that work for you guys? Gang, I gotta tell you, there was years ago and hey man, God used it and thank God for it and I changed and grew, but there was a several year period where I just spent 12 hours a day in the Bible. And I gotta be honest, it is, looking back on it, it's just hard to comprehend how much spiritual activity it's possible to do and still be a jerk. It's almost hard to comprehend. It really is. I mean, I'm looking, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm the worst, but I tell you, I ask my wife. I was still a horrible husband, but man, I'm just full of, what is the point? There are some things that don't get healed. There are certain remedies that the doctor gives, and the remedy for dysfunction within you, you got to get on, will you say this phrase? Say, get on topic. You got to get on the topic. I was not on the topic of my own sin at all. I didn't think that was anything ever to be discussed. Scripture tells you to confess your sins one to another. That was not a topic I was on. In fact, I had never done that, never planned to do that. Gang, there's some stuff you are never going to get free from. You can read and pray 24 hours a day, and you will still be, I'm not going to use the word that I was thinking, because jerk was too nice. So concerning this, me hanging the Bible here, and I'm hoping that you'll have enough humility to join the rest of us here. You know, I mean, if you're better than all these guys, you know, all right, you don't need this, but the rest of us, let's jump into a group. And but concerning I just can't help but think about these stories in the Bible. Just take one of them. Take Joseph. He's just the classic, because every one of us in this, look at the on your notes there, Psalms 105:19 said this, that until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Until the time came where fulfilling his dreams, that's when Joseph, if you guys don't know Joseph's story, we don't have time to tell the whole thing today, but Joseph's the guy in the Bible that has every possible imaginable excuse that you and I have. Anybody that you know that has a really, really good excuse to be really, really crabby about life, to be bitter, to be dysfunctional, he's got every single excuse. Grow up in a dysfunctional family? Check. Have brothers that hate you. Scripture says they could never even speak a kind word to him. Check. Brothers who wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him. Instead of killing him, they found out they could make a buck on him, so check. How about racism? Slavery? There's a good reason. Gang, our world struggles with all of these. Joseph, know anything about slavery? Check. Prison. I mean, unjustifiably thrown in prison. And that'll do something to you. You're thrown in prison because of a lie? That'll do something to you. Check. I mean, it just, everything in his life. But Joseph had every reason to live angry. And guys, if you hear nothing else, just hear this, because this is so true of every one of us. But instead, his is a story of grace and forgiveness. That's what his story is. His story is one of grace. If you're taking notes, the first one, two, and three, there's three ways that you're going to deal with this. Joseph is one of those on that list. And there's three ways. You're going to, one, you're going to either hide, which I would say is, that's probably about 48% of the human race. Just do your best to ignore it. Do the best to ignore your own stuff, your family stuff. Feel embarrassed about it. Feel like whatever. Hide. The second category, I think, actually is a little bit bigger. And you fight. This is the one that gets praise on planet Earth. They're a fighter. Whoo, they're a fighter. Isn't that, I mean, that sounds good. I mean, if you have an illness, you have cancer, what's the best thing you can say? Ooh, they're a fighter. I understand. I mean, that, I guess there's some nobility to that, but that is the world's way of overcoming a curse. Fight, man, just fight. There is something on this planet that's pulling you down. And the world's way to handle it is, oh, girl, you're going to fight to get on top of it. The world does not honor the hiders, but the world will admire and praise you if you're a fighter. I don't have time to go into all those details. Is there a fight to doing the will of God? Yes, but you're fighting yourself. You're fighting your own sin. You're fighting your own bitterness. You're fighting your own justifiable unforgiveness. You're fighting your own junk. That's not the fight the world is honoring. No. And there's a lot of us in this room. There's a lot of us in this room who honestly, you've yet to find freedom because that's all you know. You're a fighter. And you think that's what this is going to be, just another 6 weeks? Come on, devil. Maybe it's, and for most people, it's not fighting the devil. It's just fighting. Just fighting to get on top. Fighting to get on, even fighting to get on top of yourself. That is not the, is that what Joseph did? You read his stories? I mean, yes, in a sense, you can say he's a fight. But he's fighting to do the will of God. He's fighting to keep his mouth shut. He's fighting to love and give and serve. Now, friends, that's a fight. The first one is grace. It's one of those three. And Joseph had every reason in the world to live angry. Instead, his is a story of grace. Every one of those characters on that list is a story of grace. It's a story of grace. And grace is not how you fight to get on top. Grace is how you fight to open your chest to receive grace. And that's a fight. It's a different fight. It's a very different fight. The world will never teach you that. And quite honestly, the world won't honor it. The world will recognize it, though, as it climbs. Because if you ever figure out how to open your heart to grace, grace is the helium in this. It's the spiritual, it's the only spiritual helium in this world, and it will lift you. It will lift you where you cannot climb. You can't fight to get there. You can't fight to that freedom. You can't. But freedom is only happens by grace. Joseph was a man just full of grace. Somehow when his brothers finally stand before him and he's forgiving them, scripture records this amazing little detail that he wept so loud. I mean, he sends everybody out and he wept so loud that that the Egyptians could hear him. Now, this isn't a guy who's got it all canned up and he's fought to get on. No. He was free long before now. And he's free emotionally. He's free spiritually. He actually loves. He's actually found freedom. But it's not by, he didn't fight to get to the top. He opened his heart to grace. And that is my prayer for you, is that during this series, we're going to open our heart. It is amazing how much love and joy and peace can fill the heart and the life of a person who's been so abused. I'm telling you, you do not top Joseph's story. You don't. You might have one of his six things. He had them all. And it's just unbelievable how much love and joy. How many have met that person that has better reasons than you to be miserable, and they're just full of God's grace? Anybody meet that person? Nobody? Guys, I'm standing right here. What? Come on. It's equally amazing just how bitter, angry, justified a person can get that doesn't have such great reasons if we don't learn how to receive grace. When you see the grace of Jesus Christ, it is the most amazing, because you realize, I can't goof this up. This doesn't hang on me. It's not, I don't have to pull the right perfect lever. I just have to receive his grace, trust him that he had a reason for allowing it, and just trust him. Trust his grace to lift me up, and that is going to be our series. We're starting Finding Freedom on a day where we have some baptisms of people, and I hope you understand baptism. Baptism is not the moment that once you have fought your way to the top, you are then, and we have a series, you know, of questions to make sure that only people who have fought their way to perfection can get in this tank. No. It is a statement, though, that Jesus, I have fully opened my heart to your grace. I trust in your grace completely. And yes, I need your redemption.